plenty to talk about at the beginning of December, a sketchy story that happened to me, fun and excitement for Ruben, something different about Eminem's new album playlist, the Giants having a lot of problems, college football playoff, of course, the Aggies make a bowl for the first time in a very long time, so get ready for this week's podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you turn the volume all the way up and you're seated because you're about to listen to the best radio show in all of New Mexico. This is All Sports Best with your hosts, Trey and Ruben. Well, guys, it's the night of December 6th. We've got plenty to talk about. Like I've said before, very excited to do this podcast. Ruben, we've got some new music. We got a new intro. I think this show's been ready for a facelift for some time. What do you think?
I'm excited. I think it's fun. Let's do it.
All right. So without further ado, we've got a couple of stories here in college football that are going to kind of get us very pumped up to watch the bowl season. One thing that sticks out in particular for me is that the New Mexico State Aggies make a bowl for the first time in 57 years. Gosh dang it. For the last, what has it been, like 10, okay, it's been a lot longer than 10 years, but it's been hard to get people to come from the tailgating area into the stadium to actually watch a football game. It has not been exciting. Have you ever watched a football game, New Mexico State football?
Oh, yeah. I've watched plenty of them. Went to school there. It's exciting to know that they are going to a bowl game. I can't believe it's been since 1960 since they actually played in a bowl game. And just to the excitement, you know, I hope it turns their program around and they start getting a little bit better recruits, something, you know, they need that. Cause like you said about tailgating, I would go and hang out. And I think a lot of those people go and tailgate and have fun and cook out and play cornhole and hang out.
It's a good time.
And I think they just get really, really well medicated. And sometimes they'll go to the game that way, or they'll just stay at the tailgate because they'll be like, you know what, the Aggies aren't going to do anything anyways,
right?
But now it's like, hey, we might as well go inside. They're winning some games, so yeah, I'm excited for them.
Yeah, and you know what, if they can really make the environment of, you know, inside the stadium as fun as it is outside the stadium, they might just think, hey, it's just a continuation of a party and we can have some fun. Success does a lot for a team, and of course we know what it does for future. It gives you recruits, it gets you more money, it gets you better games, it gets you TV stuff. And I know that's a long ways away. Obviously, making the first bowl game in 57 years isn't going to just entitle you to a great program, but it's a good step. It's a good step in the right direction, right?
Heck yeah. You think those four teams in the Final Four right now, they started out just like that.
Yeah.
So maybe 60 more years, 70 more years from now, they might be right there.
And the only thing that kind of gets at me a little bit for, I don't know, the fact that they had been on a drought for 57 years, is just wait three more years, making it even 60. It's kind of cool to just say, oh yeah, in 60 years. No, I'm just kidding. Poor Aggies. You know, I had experience, knew a couple of the guys. I didn't know a whole lot of them. But it's got to be tough. You know what I mean? To go into a program, Division I, you can say you're Division I. Oh yeah, where do you play? Oh, New Mexico State. Oh, really? You know what I mean? And now it's like, hey, you guys made history. You're all over the news. Like, it's kind of a cool perk to saying that you're an Aggie now. We're sponsored by Constructors Inc., Rugged Trade, Kaleidoscope's Ice Cream and More, Farm Bureau, Bobby Bone Insurance, and Albertson's Market. Now, as far as the college football playoff goes, I think we're both excited to watch to see what happens in those bowl games. Obviously, bowl season's great. You get a lot of different football games to just sit down and enjoy with good teams going into it. You're not going to get a dud game. I mean, you will, but you know what I mean? You can't anticipate that. The college football playoff, we've got the four top teams, and they are what, Ruben?
Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama in that order. So it'll be Clemson and Alabama playing, and then it'll be Oklahoma and Georgia playing. So, yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. It's on New Year's Day, the semifinals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, there's tons of bowl games, probably, what, 30 bowl games mm-hmm. during the whole bowl season, which will kick off here in a couple of weeks, and it'll go all the way through till the national championship game be like on a week after New Year's Day. So it'll be like the 8th, I think, is when the championship game would be. And let's go ahead and talk about it right now. I know we've got more time. We'll talk about it some more later. But I predict that Alabama is going to upset Clemson and that Oklahoma is going to beat Georgia. Who do you got?
Well, it's a revenge game. I think that's going to be something that everybody's going to keep their eye on. You know, last year Clemson ended up beating out Alabama to win it all. And now, of course, they're going to come back and be like, we got to, you know what I mean, rock them. You can't take anything lightly. Of course, neither team will. I'm going to go ahead and say Clemson pulls it out, and they're going to kind of look like the one seed they've been named to be. And they're going to come into the championship game and really put up a fight. That's going to be my prediction on that.
Okay, what about the other game?
I'm going to say I really like Georgia. I mean, I got to rep Georgia for Andy. That's my boy. And I like what they've been doing. They've been hot. I know you really like what Baker Mayfield brings to the table. And of course, there's a lot of things to like about his game. But I think Georgia's so strong. And I don't know. They were in that one spot. They fell down. And I think just now they're hungrier than ever.
Doing it for Andy, huh? If any of you don't know, Andy is Chest Pound Friday, Andy.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you haven't seen that, go to all the different accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and check it out. He has some motivational talk on Fridays. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to promote ourselves from college football up to the NFL, and a lot of stuff that happened there. Of course, there's controversy going on with the New York Giants, and we've kind of touched on that every now and again. For the last couple weeks, it's been an ongoing thing. They fired Ben McAdoo finally, or at least a lot of New York fans believe that's finally. I saw a meme on Twitter that showed, you know, Giants players like dancing. And of course it was out of context, but they were like, this is what fans look like now that he's been fired. And that says a lot. I mean, could you imagine getting fired from your job and everybody that knows about it's like, yeah, you're out. You know what I mean? Like, how does that make you feel as a head coach?
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know that all the things that happened were his fault. I mean, they had a terrible season, and I believe last year was his first season, and they didn't do so well last year either, but they did better. But I think that, you know, the next guy, could you imagine being the next guy? I mean, the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
The pressure, they're looking at probably trying to get a big name. I've heard Jim Harbaugh. I've heard Nick Saban. I mean, I've heard names like that, but I think you got to get a NFL guy that's got experience and maybe is a little bit more seasoned, I guess, than a guy coming from college. You know, well, Harbaugh was a good pro coach, but Saban, I don't think he had such a good experience with Miami Dolphins.
No, definitely not. Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, you come into this head coaching job and it's like, okay, this is number one rule. Do not sit Eli Manning. That's, you know, that's a hot topic right there. Don't do it. It's going to put you like on the hot seat. And, you know, of course, you're going to try to do your best to accommodate everything that you can to make sure that OBJ is on the field. You know what I mean? Like, of course, he's the prized possession. His jersey sold more than anybody on the Giants easily, like not even close. So you got to make sure the fans are happy, at least watching their favorite receiver play.
I wonder if that'll be a question in the interview. So you've got eight coaches out there in the interview room and waiting to come in to talk to the, you know, general manager. And or wait, they've got to get a general manager too. So maybe they have that. Maybe they have that one first.
Right.
And then they hire a coach. But anyway, so let's just say it's me and you and three other guys, and we're in a little group meeting, and then we say, okay, come on in, next coach. So, you know, here comes Jim Harbaugh, and they're asking him questions. I think one of the questions would be like, okay, if your quarterback has got a 121 game streak, would you sit him on the bench because your team is not doing well? That'd be a question to ask, let's say.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Harbaugh would be like, oh, darn, should that be, yeah, I would, because I want to make sure that we are winning, or no, because I don't want
right.
to hurt, you know. So
yeah,
that's
a tough question.
One. Yeah, it's a tough one, because I guess some of them are in the room are like, no, we need to get rid of Eli and move on. And mm-hmm. some of them are like, no, we want the streak to go forever because that's all we've got. I don't know.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I think they do. They need to go in a different direction. I mean, you can't really base it off of one season. You give them next year, you kind of see where things go. If they pick it up, all right, maybe we can work with this. But if not, it's like, hey, you know, we need to find a guy that can do a little bit more than where he's at right now. He used to be better, obviously.
Yeah, I think they said that it's already towards the end of the season. I think the last couple of games, they're going to have to at least play that other guy. I don't even know who the guy is behind Geno, but whoever that guy is, they're going to have to audition him a little bit and see. If not, they may have to go after a quarterback in the draft. You know, go for a Sam Darnold or a Rosen. Is it Jason? The UCLA quarterback? That's another possibility. And I don't know. They're looking at something like that.
Next topic on the NFL agenda is a game that we watched not too long ago, actually this past week, and it was between the Steelers and the Bengals, probably the most violent display of football in the NFL this year, probably by far. I mean, let's be real. That was pretty brutal. A couple things that happened. Of course, Ryan Shazier was injured during the game, left without moving his feet. Apparently, he's been hospitalized for, you know, he was hospitalized for days after that, and with a spinal injury. He still is right now. So, I mean, you got to kind of – that is the first thing that happened, and then it just got worse from there. Juju Schuster got fined and suspended for a game for targeting. His was a little bit questionable, but then, you know, I forgot who it was, but on the Bengals, they targeted the number one wide receiver, Antonio Brown. Yeah, on a touchdown pass. It was over. You know what I mean? He caught it. He came down. As soon as he did, boom, got helmet to helmet. Yeah. And that's crazy because I know, heat of the moment, you could kill somebody.
Well, I don't know. It's so much it's heat of the moment as it is Bengals versus Steelers because it's been going on for years. Burfict.
It's like hard to say.
Yeah, it's a different – anyways, he's like one of the most – I mean, of course, we're Steelers fans, so, you know, we're going to be a little bit more like in the propaganda towards them. But if all things being even, he's one of the most dirty players there are. And he's – you know, he got hit, I guess, helmet to helmet was one of the ones, and it hit him pretty good. So
it was Schuster.
Yeah, that's – yeah. So I don't know. I think it's just they take it to a different level when they play each other, and it's good that they're given 100%, but when you start targeting and you start going after them in a, you know, hurtful way, then I think it's dangerous and it's not good for the game.
It's definitely good for viewers, though. I mean, of course, you don't want your kid to see this and be like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to just lay this one dude. You know, I'm going to spear him. But at the same time, it's like, hey, this is kind of fun to watch. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was watching that game, I was like, what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? And we caught the end. It was a really good game. You know, despite all of the controversy, 23-20 says it all. You know what I mean? In the final seconds, Steelers let the clock run down, you know, call a timeout with just seconds left and kick a field goal, you know, to win the game. So just that alone.
And I don't know that I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
I don't know that it was a good game because it was 20-3. So I think it was just pretty much all Bengals. And at the second half, about the middle of the third quarter, it's like the Steelers woke up and said, you know what? We're actually doing pretty good. We're like 10 and 2. So, hey, we need to play like our record. And they kind of pulled their head out and, you know, actually did well and competed and ended up winning at the end. So a little bit of luck and a lot of skill got them there. So I think everybody's looking forward to the matchup, not this next weekend, but in 2 weeks when the Patriots and the Steelers play. So, yeah, that's going to be exciting. And now we're going to go towards the Patriots. So let's talk about Rob Gronkowski. So what do you think about his hit?
Man, it's tough to talk about the way that the NFL handles things. I'm going to talk about that a little bit too. You know, all three of the guys that the two guys that we mentioned, you know, that made dirty hits in the Bengals game, they got suspended for one game and fined. Rob Gronkowski, same punishment, but yet his was obviously the most dirty, probably over three times as bad. You know what I mean? He intercepted the ball, came down with it. He was already down. Another Patriot touched him, and then he comes up. I mean, this dude's, what is he, like 270?
He's huge. 6'6", maybe.
So strong. Yeah. I mean, he's fast. Yeah. Think about a train coming at you. And that's what Rob Gronkowski, he basically, just went down like a semi-truck on a guy that's helpless on the floor. And he concussed him. I mean, he hurt the guy. He should go without pay, you know, for a little while. I mean, there's like so many things they could have done. One suspension, you know what I mean? And they protect superstars. And I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah. No, that's definitely at least two games and maybe a big time fine. But yeah, that's pretty sad because they said they kind of gave him a pass because of who he is, because he's always been a real sportsmanlike guy.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, but when you see it, the video, it's like so premeditated, like, you know what, I'm going to I'm mad that he intercepted it. I'm going to just lay him out.
Right.
And you know what I mean? A concussion is nothing to joke about. You know,
no,
I mean,
it's definitely
it's
not
bad stuff. So,
yeah. And then of course the effects that we've seen, you know, and heard about with, you know, the movie Concussion and all that stuff, 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. And then you launch. That's a little bit much. I'm not about it. You know, and I do like Rob Gronkowski, and I like him a lot less now, because of that, you know? So let's move on. We're going to move on to the NBA real quick. One of the things that, what's up?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, just right now, who is the most exciting player to watch in the NBA? You turn the TV on, you're trying to watch a game, you see this player's playing, you're focusing on this guy specific.
Darn, that's a good question. I wish I would have got a heads up on it. I guess if I had to say one person, I'd just say Kyrie Irving, just because he's exciting to watch to me. You know, he doesn't have as much around him as he would if he had Hayward with him, but he still has some, you know, options. But yeah, he just does a lot with the basketball, and he just, yeah, he's impressive to watch.
Yeah. Being able to lead a team, you know, as a point guard, like the way he has been doing, has been something definitely impressive. For me, I'm going to go with the Greek Freak. I just still, every time I see highlights, every time, you know, I turn on a Bucks game, whoever wanted to watch a Bucks game, you know what I mean? And now it's like, all right, this dude is something special. Of course, Eric Bledsoe is a little more comfortable at the barbershop there than he was in Phoenix, obviously. But, I mean, goodness gracious, this dude is something else. He is exactly what his nickname says. And even though it's hard to say his last name, everybody's saying it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird jersey to see because it's got so many letters on it, but it's kind of cool. It's like, check this dude out. You know, he's a boss.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about NBA teams, the other one that I'm excited to watch when they come on is the 76ers. I mean, whoever thinks about the 76ers until this year, I mean, for years, it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want... I think the last time I think the 76ers were relevant was Julius Irving, Dr. J. That's, you know, I mean... Yeah, they had, what, Allen Iverson played with them?
I was going to stop you and say Allen Iverson, they made it to the finals. I mean, yeah.
Okay, well,
relevant.
I guess they were pretty good then.
It's kind of relevant, whatever.
Okay, but now Joel Embiid, big time. You've got Ben Simmons. You've got...
Don't say Okafor because that dude ain't had
no,
played
he hasn't
this
got,
year.
No, that guy...
He gets disrespected.
Yeah, that guy needs to go play in the D League or go find him another team or something.
He's got to find another team.
I feel bad for him because he's still got skills and... Could you imagine just sitting on the bench watching going, hey, coach, can I go in?
Coach, I'm kind of like a big deal. I mean, you drafted me. I'm getting paid pretty good. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. How can you not use a player like that?
Yeah, I think you got to see what you can do and go from there. But I'm excited watching the young players, and I think for the future, they're going to be around for a while.
DeAndre Jordan is rumored to have 3 choices narrowed down to the next place that he wants to land. Cavaliers, Wizards, and the Bucks. Where would you say out of those 3 teams that you would like to see him go to improve their chances at a run in the playoffs?
Well, I think that you said the Warriors?
No, not the Warriors, the Wizards.
Oh, the Wizards. Okay, I think the Wizards, that would be a good one. I don't want him to go to the Cavs. You know, I think they do need a big guy, probably would help him out, but I'm not about helping the Cavaliers out much, but I think the Wizards would be good with Bradley Beal, who just scored 51, last night? Crazy. You've got John Wall and him. I think that would be a big three, and I think that would improve them quite a bit.
Definitely. I mean, I'd like to see the Wizards do well. They do well. I mean, they make it to the playoffs quite often.
Did you say doo-doo?
They do a lot. They do all the time. The Bucks would be fun to see improve, but, I mean... You know, I don't know if they could still make a big time run at it. I think the Wizards he would be a missing piece on the Wizards, whereas, you know, with the Bucks, he'd kind of be, you know, running similar with Giannis. And then the Cavs, you know, like you said, I mean, I'm tired of the Cavs. I don't want to see the Warriors get any better. I don't want to see the Cavs get any better. I want some turnover in the league. You know, baseball is doing a great job of, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not like they get to choose it. But, you know, it changes every year. There's probably a couple of teams in there, obviously, that make it all the time. Dodgers are probably one of them that come to mind. But then, you know, you look at football, too, and it's like, okay, yeah, the Patriots do well, but, you know, they haven't won, you know, multiple years. It hasn't been the same 2 teams for
in
however
fight,
long.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl every year. Yeah,
exactly. True. So we're going to move over into the MLB. Giancarlo Stanton. Man, where do you see him landing, and who do you think he will help the most?
Well, I think that he's narrowed it down to two teams. It's either the San Francisco Giants or it's the St. Louis Cardinals. And I think both of them have rich histories, especially the St. Louis Cardinals, of course. But I think he's going to lean towards San Francisco because California, the Bay Area, just that whole...
He's a showman.
Yeah, I think he'd do well there. And I think it would bring him back up, you know, to be relevant again. So what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to argue that, but I also think that the Cardinals, you know, they've been, I don't know, they've both been winners as of recent. I like what the Cardinals bring, though, and I like the fact that, you know, Yadier Molina is such a good, you know, role model and mentor to, like, the teammates that he does have. He's a hard worker. He gets the job done. He's been doing it for so long that it's hard not to respect him. Plus, he's just a bulldog. You know what I mean? He's that bulldog kind of competitor. And when you hit home runs in the way that Giancarlo Stanton does, he obviously has a bulldog mentality. I think that they could build off of each other. And, of course, Yadier is probably getting to the end of his career. And
but he's still one of the best catchers in the game.
Exactly. Sure. And he could just hand it off, you know, kind of like the team.
Pass the torch.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, wherever he goes, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter where he goes. I don't think there's anybody in the league that he could go and then it'd be like, I mean, there is. I mean, you know, he goes to the Astros. He's probably going to share the team.
Oh,
he
yeah.
goes to the, you know, to the, give me another one.
Yankees.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, they'll be the new Smash Bros or whatever. But, I mean, it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of a set thing. Wherever he goes, he's kind of going to be the guy.
Okay. Since I brought up Yankees, let's talk about Aaron Boone, the latest.
Aaron Boone.
The latest manager for the New York Yankees.
Right.
What a big stage. What a big job. He's going to have some, you know, some big shoes to fill.
Definitely.
It's going to be exciting to watch. I mean, as it is, I was really surprised that they got rid of Girardi. I thought he did well last year. I mean, beat the best team in the whole major league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Indians.
The number one ranked, number one seeded.
Yeah, the number one team had the longest winning streak, were just on fire, and then they just dismissed them like they weren't there. And they ended up getting beat by the Astros, who won the World Series. So, okay. So now it's like, okay, Gerard, you didn't do your job. You're out of here.
Right.
So I think it's tough. Hopefully Boone gets a pretty good contract because he's going to have some security, because if not, he's going back to ESPN after 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And you know what? The wild card game's not easy to get out of. I mean, you see it all the time. Every year you see, you know, a wild card team that it's like there's not going to be much going on there, and they did a good job. Obviously, like you said, beating the number one seeded team. And you got in an argument kind of on Instagram with somebody that said, you know, that you were wrong. He shouldn't have fired him. I think that, you know, he did a fine job there. He did it for years. He's kind of been a staple there. Yeah, they might want a new fresh face, but when you make it to the playoffs, it's crazy to me when a team fires a guy.
Yeah. It was funny because on Instagram, I saw a picture of him getting fired, and I said, oh, man, I thought he was doing a good job, and I can't believe he got fired. And
you put on a country accent to say this?
I think I did. But anyways, then some guy fires back with a reply and said, he made some bad moves in the playoffs. What? You don't know baseball. What game were you watching? And I was
right.
like.
And you don't. You don't know baseball.
Yeah. I don't know the guy, but I wanted to go after him. I don't know, like road rage maybe.
Okay. You're getting a little bit crazy. We're going to move on. I can't say his name. He's from Japan. He's the next Babe Ruth of Japan.
Just say Ohtani.
Let's just say, you know, a guy that
like
is going to make.
Just one name.
He's going to make a difference on whatever team he goes to. Pitches, hits. And he does both in an extreme fashion. It's like Giancarlo Stanton and, you know, who else? Give me another example.
Well, Kershaw as a pitcher or, you know, it's like having both in one person.
Could you imagine?
I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for them to have the guy, because what do you do with him? You know, are you going to pitch one game and then have him hit and play a position the other games and then come back and pitch again? You don't really see it, so it's kind of, you know, unless it's college or high school or maybe little league, but other than that, you really don't see it. So I think it'll be interesting for whichever team picks him up. And of course, we talked about it, the West Coast is where he wants to be. So that's what the Mariners, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, the Angels, I think those would be like the five, you know, five teams that, you know, right. What do you think? Where is he going?
I'm thinking, well, where is he going? Shoot, I think he's going to go to California. He sees the, you know what I mean? And we've also discussed this, you know, you see California on a poster or on the website. It's like, that's home. That's where I got to be. You know what I mean? Coming from where he's, you know, I'm sure he's living it up wherever he's from in Japan. And it's like amazing there. He's probably getting the star treatment. He's going to get it wherever he goes anyway. He's seen what, you know, Ichiro and Tanaka and Matsui have all gotten to live the life up. Well, now he's going to be able to go and live it. Yu Darvish might be, you know, helping him, you know, say, hey, West Coast is where it's at, man. Come on. You know, so that's something for him. But if I'm a manager, I'm going to play him like he's a little leaguer. Let's go. Come and hit. Let's play. And then, hey, we need a good hard-throwing guy. Run out in the pen while we're hitting and go get loose and come into the game. I mean, who cares? You know what I mean? If he really wants to play, hey, bring it to the table. You don't have to, you know what I mean, separate your days out. But if that's what he thinks and that he wants, you got to kind of cater to him. I mean, he's going to – he could – if he wanted to say, hey, I'll go to your team and I'll sign. If you let me play both ways, I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow him on Instagram and on Facebook, and I'm going to
he will just not understand
subliminal
you.
Messages. I'll find out the Japanese way to say Dodgers, let's go Dodgers, mm-hmm. and then
he'll get annoyed.
He'll sign for the Dodgers.
Then he'll get annoyed and he'll join forces with the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's all we need. Okay, a couple of extra stories, and this is I'm kind of excited to talk about these extra stories. And of course, we got a quote by somebody you would not expect. But first things first, Eminem's coming out with a new album. They released the track list for it. And the big standout that's been all over social media is the fact that he made a song with Ed Sheeran. Can you imagine Eminem and Ed Sheeran? So a lot of people, it's mixed feelings. Some people, this is my life. Oh my gosh, this is going to, you know, change everything. This is amazing. And some people are like, Eminem's gone soft. Like, you know, this isn't the Eminem that we know. This is the Eminem that's just trying to get, you know, on again. Anything he does, anything he drops, everyone's going to listen to. I don't care what it is. What do you think about Eminem teaming up with Ed Sheeran?
I think it's a good combo. It'll because Eminem hasn't come up with stuff in a while. So I think it'd be something that people are going to go, oh yeah, that's cool to listen to, just to see the controversy or the combination, I guess. I think it'll be, you know, I mean, Eminem always does fire. So, and Ed Sheeran is, yeah, he's something he's else. So yeah. I think it's going to be a great combination, and I think it'll work.
One on the way out, one at the top of his game. And you know what? He did a song with Bruno Mars, and that worked out just fine. I think it's obviously a little bit different. He has a little more hip hop in his, you know, in his step, but I don't know. Ed Sheeran's pretty much the GOAT right now as is. So that's another thing. And then I've got a sketchy story that happened to me just the other day. Got new stickers in. If you guys haven't seen the stickers that we have, you can check out the website, allsportsbest.com. Check out the shirts that we just got. We've got stickers. We've got hats. All of the above. And, you know, I just ordered new stickers that represent the shirts, and I was pumped about them. Super excited about them. Didn't come in the way I thought, but that's what I'm going to get to here in just a second. Get the delivery notification. We're actually recording and messing around here in the studio. And so I'm like, sweet, I'm going to walk out. Nothing was out there. Apparently, you know, I called UPS. They had delivered it a couple doors down. No idea who the guy is. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. Knock on the door. Luckily, they were there. But before then, you know, I was kind of like worried about it. Have an event going on this Saturday at the Lucky Brew. So if you, you know, get a chance and you're listening, go and check it out. It's like a little Christmas Expo. It's going to be fun. And I got the stickers. Good news. I got the stickers maybe a couple days late, but it was kind of like a big relief. And also, they're sending me a whole new package of stickers because, you know, that UPS messed up on that. But the bad news is that they are tiny, and you've made fun of me for it. How tiny are these stickers?
Well, you had said they're about the size of your thumb. They're more like the size of your thumbnail. So it's pretty tiny. So yeah, the logo is so tiny. Unless you're right up on it, you can't even see it. So yeah, it's pretty cool. If it was maybe three times the size, wow. I don't know. I think it's you know, it's something to put on the back of a postcard or something maybe.
Yeah, and then I can also, I think I'm going to go ahead and buy a little bit of or a little supply of magnifying glasses and they'll just come with it. I don't think that's a problem.
That'd be cool.
You had a really cool experience going to Arizona, watching the Cardinals play the Rams, and it was a one-day trip, something like you've never done before.
Yeah, we ended up on a Sunday about 9:30-ish. We got to the airport and we went on a private jet and we flew to Phoenix. 2 hours later, we're in Phoenix landing. I mean, amazing. I mean, we usually drive when we go to Phoenix. It's like 9 hours and it's long and it's, you know, it's pretty brutal sometimes. Anyways, 2 hours we're there. We go to the airport, kind of loosen up. Then we go straight to the game. There's so many tailgaters. It's so exciting. They had like a mariachi band playing. They have food. They have TVs on the back of trucks.
Crazy.
That's like four screens. So they're watching all the other games before the Cardinal games comes on. And it's just, it's exciting to watch. So we walk into the stadium, got great seats, got food, got everything right there.
Heck
close
yeah.
to the field. I mean, the whole experience was just amazing. It was something else. Of course, it wasn't what the Cardinals wanted because they had the Rams to deal with, and Gurley was amazing, and Goff, and they just, yeah, they tore them up. It was like 32-16, I think, was the final. But, you know, the next morning, we get up, and 2 hours later, we're back in Carlsbad. So, yeah, it was a quick trip, but it was an
super
experience.
Fun.
Yeah, super fun. Yeah, it was fun. Shout out. But I was going to also bring up about the Heisman. We better, you know, talk a little bit about the Heisman. We got three candidates that are going to be there in New York on Saturday. Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma, 6'1", 220, 4,340 yards, and 41 touchdowns.
You got the stat thing down.
You got Bryce Love, Stanford, 5'10", 196, 237 attempts, 1,973 yards, and 17 touchdowns.
Beast.
And then you got Lamar Jackson from Louisville, 3,489 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, 6'3", 211. So I think as far
reigning,
as...
Reigning Heisman.
Yeah, reigning Heisman. I personally think that the favorite is going to be Baker Mayfield, but you never know because of his gestures, maybe... Some people don't vote for him. What do you think?
I think he's just 110% fine. I think you see passion out of a player like the way you've seen Baker Mayfield. He's been animated all season. Everybody's been on his case about what he does. I'm all about what he's doing. Of course, you don't want to see, you know, bad gestures, middle finger, you know, grabbing on yourself a little bit. But you know what? If you're going up against a team that's talking crap to you, you know what it's like to play against other dudes that are, you know, talking crap or pushing on you or, you know, doing stuff that's basically cheating. And you're like, you know what, you know, forget this dude or forget this team. You know, I'm sick of this. You know, you hate your rivals. You hate some teams just on a personal level for whatever reason. You're going to be in the heat of the moment. When you show them up, you're pumped about it. So you might show that. I think Baker Mayfield's just fine. He's done plenty this year to prove that he's the Heisman Trophy winner. I think it'd be cool to see Lamar Jackson win it again, but I don't think he's done enough, nearly enough, to go over Baker.
Yeah, I don't think his stats are what they were last year. Not even close. They're probably half of what they were. But I think possibly he might be a better NFL quarterback just because of his size and his options.
His movement, yeah.
But at the same time, then you look at RG3, and he looked amazing going into the pros. And then
he did good in the pros for a little while.
Well, he did for a little while, but got hurt and then had to change things up, and then he kind of fizzled out. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens at the next level, and I'll have my money on Baker Mayfield, and it sounds like you will too.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't understand why his Twitter handle isn't Shaken Baker. Like, how do you not do that? I would be all about it. I guess that's pretty much it for tonight. Really excited. I was pumped about what we did tonight. I had a lot of fun on this podcast, and I've got a quote to finish off the show, and you can do your sign out as well. And it's going to be by somebody you never expect me to quote, but be yourself, you sleep better. I think that's a cool quote. Just, you know, have fun, enjoy your, you know, what you bring to the table. Don't try to be anybody else. You're going to be, you know, better off for it. And Gucci Mane said it. So nice. Shout out Gucci Mane. He's doing big things right now.
Last thing to say is, hey, check out the t-shirts. They're cool. Three colors, gray, blue, or red. The toughest thing I think about it is trying to decide which color you want.
Yeah.
Heck, if you can, just get all three of them. It doesn't matter. But get them while they last, because they're not going to last long. And look forward to the next one.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Spread the word. Share this on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And contact us on any of those platforms. And make sure and check out allsportsbest.com. See you next time.